family fun for over 50 years. Everybody's smiling and everybody's head is kind of shaped like an inverted steam whistle on that particular box. 412-200-5975. Incredible edibles. Thank you, Kathy. Oh, and Kathy sent the clackers, the click clacks is what we called them. But yes, the string with the two balls, popular in the late 60s and early 70s. Let's see who this is. Hi, SLB, you're on with us. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Larry, this is Bill.
Oh, Bill, how are you? Thanks for...
Yes, did you have slot cars when you were younger?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we had a whole track, and, you know, when you get a curve, you have to get out the encyclopedias and get a little bank so the cars don't fall off. But one Christmas, I got a set of dragsters, and we had a very large living room, two drawing rooms. Probably 20, maybe 30 feet, and I had all straightaways. So when you hit the gas, when the green light went on the Christmas tree, they did a wheel stand. And at the other end of the room were all the pillows from the couch. So when you hit the end of the line, they just flew into the pillows.
That's better than, like, trying to fabricate a parachute to slow them down.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, I immediately... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say...
The whole thing. If you could customize your car, there was actually a slot car plate that you could go and race against other kids.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like Pinewood Derby. You would, you know, trick out your car, maybe fray the contact a little bit. Give yourself an advantage, but yeah, it was a destination on a Saturday morning.
I can remember the way you know, we had these HO racing cars that had two little metal contacts on the bottom that went against almost like a trolley would operate. Except the contact was made on the bottom, and I can remember the way that metal would smell, a peculiar odor of grease and smoke and
metal. Yeah, like when you're overheating a train engine.
Yeah. What a good memory. Thank you. Good to hear from you, Bill.
All right.
Take care.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Jeffrey in Point Breeze is going to close out our calls for this segment. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, it's Jesse, actually.
Oh, Jesse. Okay. I'm sorry. Jesse.
That's all right. So you were talking about the paper football game. I remember in grade school when it would be too snowy or the weather would be too bad, they wouldn't let you out of recess, and we would spend the lunch period or recess period playing playing paper football. But the other one that was similar was table basketball, where you would take a quarter on its edge, spin it, and you had to catch it between your two thumbs, and then you use those same two thumbs to shoot it.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
So paper football, you made a hoop with your hand against your chest on the table, the person across the table from you, and you tried to shoot it in their hoop that they made with their hands.
Yeah.
So that was another fun table game.
You would put your fingers on the table and, like, grab it between your thumbs, right? And then sort of pivot.
Right. You would spin it. Yep.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we did that, too.
Yeah, table basketball. And then the other toy that I remember as a kid that I loved was really simple thing. They were called pinky balls. It was a ball. It was just a pink rubber ball. And they would sell them, I remember, at Shadyside Variety Store on Walnut Street. And it was just an all-purpose ball. And we would play, like, speed ball with it against the wall, you know, at a playground where you would put a square on the wall. That was the strike zone. And you had a pitcher and you had fielders. And you tried to hit the ball. And a single, double, triple home run was based on how far you hit it. You had certain areas you had to hit over a fence or whatever. But that pinky ball was a perfect ball for speedball.
I remember that. And speedball, Bill Luker and I always would say speedball, combining the angst of kickball with the awkwardness of softball for middle school students. Although it was a lot of fun to play speedball. Oh, gosh.
We would play, there was an area in Alder Dice High School where we'd play, obviously not during school, but you stand against the wall, and there was a square, and you'd hit it, and the single through home run was based on what floor of the building, like the windows, that you would hit it to. So if you hit it in the fourth floor window, that was a home run, and because it was a softball, you know, tennis ball or pinky ball, no damage was done, but that was fun.
I somehow have a feeling that still goes on. I thank you so much for calling, Jesse. I hope you'll
thank
call
you.
Us again. Take care. Broadcasting live. Thanks for making this a fun half hour together. From historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, and Alexis Thompson, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio. A few quick notes. Stu in McCandless still has his Spirograph. That's one that definitely fits. He also has a Super Spirograph and a companion Spirofoil. I don't remember that, those. And Kathy, a Ouija board. We had that same exact Ouija board that you just sent a picture of. Thank you for playing along with us. It's currently National Poetry Month, and it's our pleasure to be sharing poems on the radio every Saturday throughout National Poetry Month. We also have poems that you can listen to at slbradio.org and on our social media sites. Here's Margaret Bailich. This work is entitled Scum, A Day in Couplets.
So I wrote this poem over the summer, and I had to write a couplet every hour for 12 hours. So this is very disjointed. A lot of my work actually is kind of like disjointed because I wanted it to kind of stay true to how I felt that day. So it's called Scum, A Day in Couplets. Margaret Balich. 9. Fingers intertwine like friendship bracelets coming off the high of chastity. 10. Printed like prison, branded by scars, you are a tired page. 11. Small grasp on a cheap pen, performing for yourself. 12. Crinkled bag and outstretched hand, hunger and empty numbers. 1. Flowers wrapped around my neck, choking, biting flesh. 2. Have you ever heard the word eternal in the same sentence as your name? 3. Stained glass in church, spilled wine on my graduation dress. 4. Wood panels you carved into, never enough cerulean. 5. Rebecca inscribed in dirt, sunscreen, chemical seventh circle. 6. Birthmark searching, my hands pressed against your chest. 7. Finally, climax glacier, wreck of cardboard. 8. What is glitter besides chips of my nails, chips of polish?
Margaret Bailich, and again, hear more poems for National Poetry Month at slbradio.org. Coming up, we have 4 honorees from the Scholastic Writing Awards. They'll join us momentarily here at the Saturday Light Brigade.
That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me. Everything you have is gone, as you can see. That's what you get for loving me. I ain't the kind to hang around with any new love that I found. Moving is my stock and trade. I'm moving.
think of you when I'm gone. Shed a tear for me. I ain't the love you thought I'd be. I've got 100 more like you, so don't be blue. I'll have 1,000 before I'm through. That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me. Everything you had is gone, as you can see. That's what you get for loving me. Someday when your poor heart is on the mend, I just might pass this way again. That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me. Everything you had is gone, as you can see. What you get for loving me.
Do you remember that song? That's two Peter, Paul, and Mary cover songs we've played this morning. One by Steve Forbert. And that one just now done by Ricky Wasson for Loving Me. I have really enjoyed all of the Scholastic honorees we've had on over the past few months. Stick around. You're going to hear some fresh creative thoughts and writing coming up in a moment. I can't wait for you to meet the four people we have with us. Well, I guess I can wait, but I can only wait about 20 seconds.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's spacial.com.
My wait is over. Yours is too. And what we're going to do is first give you a sense of who's here and get to know each of our writers a bit. Then you'll have a chance to hear each of them share either an excerpt or more of their work, depending on what it is. And then we'll talk a little bit more afterwards, too. So we'll begin. I'd like you to just each please introduce yourself, if you could tell us where you go to school, the grade you're in, and if you have any shout-outs, this is the perfect time to do it, not only for people listening across our network of radio stations now, but for those who will hear you later when this is available as a podcast. So we're going to get started.
I'm Madeira Simmons. I'm in 10th grade at Shadyside Academy, and I'd like to shout out my friend group because they're listening this morning.
I'm Josie Jaguer. I am in 9th grade. I attend Fox Chapel Area High School, and I want to send a shout out to Ms. Polsiak, my 9th grade accelerated English teacher.
Hi, my name is Hadley Carlson. I'm from the Ellis School. I'll shout out my friends and teachers.
Hi, I'm Lila Seebeck. I'm in 7th grade, and I go to Avonworth School District. I would like to send a quick shout-out to my friends, Council of Dweebus, my teachers, Miss Applegate and Miss Flower, and my friend Quinn from dance, who did help me proofread this, and let me know that bandaging a leg is not the way to treat a leg dislocation. Thank you.
Boy, you've created a little interest in hearing your story.
I have a little fandom. Someone made fan art.
That's nice. Let's talk a bit about you all, each of you, in writing. Why do you do it? Anybody can jump in. This is writing not necessarily for a grade, but for pleasure. And just jump on in. It looks like Lila has some ideas.
I've always had an interest in creative writing. I always like making little universes. I focus primarily on world building, characterization, not so much plot, if I'm being honest. But, and then over like maybe the past 2 years, I've spent time creating this universe, as I call it Wado Beach, or the caste system world. It's the story you'll be, one of the stories you'll be hearing an my story you'll be hearing an excerpt from today. And it's also a short movie. Shout out, again, another shout out to all my friends who were in that.
Have you, I'm not a gamer at all, but it sounds like, I mean, world building can be a big part of game design, right? Have you done any of that, or do you have interest in that?
I might, if I would start with a book, and then maybe movie, video game, you know how the progression of series works. But if I would, I would ask for help from my dad, who's actually a coder, but I can't code at all, so I would ask him for help.
So you'd still stay, at least for now, maybe even forever, your primary mode is going to be writing. Rather than, I like that. I think everything has to be based on good writing. What other thoughts about your passion for writing and what you like doing?
I like writing poetry, but I feel like for me it just sort of happens. Like I get an idea and I just kind of write it down and work on it later.
And that was Madeira, by the way, from Shadyside Academy. When did you start doing that? When did you discover you liked poetry?
Well, I was always very into creative writing, and then I kind of got writer's block and didn't write anything for a while. So every once in a while I would start writing poetry, and it kind of just developed from there. I have a little notebook that I bring with me pretty much everywhere, and like I always make sure I have something to write ideas down.
Excellent. Any other thoughts, Josephine or Hadley?
Well, I write whenever I'm feeling an emotion that I don't really know exactly how to, like, handle. And so I typically write about not negative, but, like, things that are less talked about. So my friends and family who do read my poetry that may be struggling with the same thing can relate to that and be like, okay, well, if she can do this and find a healthy way to handle it, I can as well. So that's a reason why I write.
That's interesting. Do you know Mr. Rogers?
I do.
Not personally, but I mean,
I wish.
So Mr. Rogers had a saying, a lot of sort of principles, and one of them was, what is mentionable is manageable. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you just embraced, right? Mm-hmm. A topic that nobody is mentioning, mm-hmm. and you mention it in a work of writing, and then it becomes something that's more, that people find it easier to talk about afterwards. So that's a great thing. Any additional thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I've been trying to definitely do more writing this year, and I've been trying to write right before I go to bed to try and relive the day and kind of the good and the bad things and just the overall thoughts, and then it kind of helps me get to sleep and have that kind of routine. But yeah, I also like to think about the feelings, and also my excerpt is going to be more of a tiny bit of a research paper, but I don't actually talk about the research, don't worry. So it's kind of just also figuring out things is really nice for me in writing, to kind of be able to storyboard and, yeah.
Does anybody have an aunt named Lo?
I do.
Woohoo!
She just wrote to say hi.
Hi, Auntie Lo.
And you can write to us, too. You can text us at 412-200-5975 or use instant input at slbradio.org/radio, which is what Auntie Lo did. Does Auntie Lo live in this area?
Okay. No, she lives down in, I forget where, but she lives like a bit away, maybe 1 or 2 hours.
Oh, well, how nice that she's here. Thank you, Auntie Lo. Oh, yes.
Wait, what's the number again?
Oh, to text us? It's you're not going to text us, are you? You could. It's 412-200. Actually, maybe she just wanted me to repeat it like a co-host.
Yeah.
Tell them that number again, Larry. 412-200-5975. I like that. Tell them about the number again. We'll talk more about writing after you've shared some of it. Who'd like to go first?
Everyone looking at me. I can go first. I know I like to talk.
Have you girls met one another before today?
No.
We met in the lobby.
See, that's what's always, it's interesting because folks listening assume, oh, they're all Scholastic Award honorees. They all must know each other really well. But you're from four different schools. Hadley is 18. Madeira is 15. Lila is 13. Josephine is 14. Josie, do you go by Josie?
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with Lila.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Let me just pull it up because I was busy texting the.
Oh yeah, I see you text. Did you text us?
I did. Like, that's why I asked for the number. I'm not a co-host. Yeah.
There it is. Hi, this is Lila. Is the text. So give us a little context since you're reading an excerpt.
So the context for this story is it's set in a world where there's this caste system. And our main character, Brooke, she's the sixth, or the de facto leader of the town. It's whole big thing. You get your cast once you turn 13. And six is usually, there's only one six or two if you're a six consort. That's basically the person who's in a long-term relationship with a six. And right now she's about to start cheerleading practice, because as any teen drama goes, the popular girl's on the cheer team. Yes. We can't do stunting or anything, but it's nice to have control over another aspect of people's lives. Okay, girls, welcome to cheer practice. As you know, the football team is observing us today, so try not to look like idiots in front of your boyfriends. Static stretching for now, then when Mr. Simon gets here, we can practice cheers and stunting. The cheerleaders immediately started doing the stretch pattern we agreed upon at cheer camp, and I went over to set up what we needed for practice. Since pins were a hazard, I took off the pin that read 6 in pink letters. The law didn't require rank pins, but everyone got one on their 13th birthday to commemorate finding who you are in society. I wore it all the time, except for cheerleading events when I couldn't. Luckily, my letterman jacket had my rank embroidered on it, so I could showcase my status to everyone at the games. I put my pin in my bag and went out to meet the others. Doing some quick stretches, I gave guidance on how to do the stretches to some of the newer girls and waited for Mr. Simon. When she showed up 5 minutes later, she took me aside. Okay, Brooke, this is one of our most important practices, so make sure you give it your all. Be a little harsher today. I'm already pretty harsh, ma'am. You know what your mom says. Power is everything, I mutter, knowing the phrase by heart. There we go, Brooke. Now go show them who's boss. I walk back out to the rest of my team. Okay, girls, now that Mr. Simon is here, we will be starting stunting practice. As you know, we have to do clothes inspections, so everyone's in a line by status. There was no need for the status part, but I wanted to keep it orderly. As soon as I finished talking, everyone lined up by rank. They knew theirs in heart, and others by heart, as necessary for the highest ranking in the school. Mr. Simon and I walked down the line checking for loose clothing, jewelry, and making sure the shoes were proper and the hair was tied back. Everyone passed, even Lindsay, who I was worried about. Once that fiasco was over, we got into our stunt groups to practice our basket tosses that we do during the quarter. My bases were all ready. Both Hannah and Lindsay knew what they were doing. They loaded me in, and I felt the rush of going up. That rush quickly ended when I was plummeting down. My base is no longer under me, and now I was falling. Was this how I was going to die? I had dreams, you know. Dreams of fame. Dreams of going on a world tour with the Heartbreakers. That's her band that she's in, because being powerful isn't enough. You have to play music, too. Dreams of an extravagant wedding with the girl of Heartbreaker and football fame. Dreams that would end with my name if I died here and now. I closed my eyes, bracing for my time in Wadeel Beach to come to an end. My leg hit the ground, and pain followed. Not like a broken bone, but a leg dislocation. The rest of me almost fell apart, but I didn't. I was saved. I looked up, expecting to see Hannah's face, with her dark brown hair and her gray eyes, but instead I saw the unmistakable pink hair and piercing green eyes. "You're lucky I forgot my bag in your car," Skylar laughed, and carried me away to the nurse's office to fix me up. We walked down the school hallways with me in her arms, and I could feel her heavy breathing. "Thank you," I whispered, still in shock. "Don't mention it." And then, well, there's some romance, even though there's, like, bandaging their leg, and they kiss, and it's happy, and it's beautiful. Because that's, like, her love interest. It's amazing.
What a great story, and what a great storyteller you are. To any of you have any feedback or comments?
I thought it was really great. Like, especially for being a seventh grader, you are really good at writing, and I did not expect it. Like, I was, like, invested in that story, and it was just a little bit. Like, I want to read the rest.
Oh, yeah, I could totally let you guys read it after if you want.
Any other thoughts? I like just how expressive you were reading it. It really made me feel like you were telling me a story rather than reading a story. It did keep me glued in.
Yeah, I really do associate with the character of Brooke. I mean, I'm not as status power hungry as she is, because that'd just be a terrible person. But I really relate to the idea of wanting to be the leader and wanting to be in control. If anyone watches Amphibia, the character of Sasha, that's kind of my main inspiration for Brooke, and also just the Regina George and all the typical mean girls from media kind of combined made her fruity, you know. You know, that's how you make a character. You find other characters you like, put your own spin on it, read expressively. That's my advice.
Woo. You did great. Any other comments that anybody would like to give Lila?
I was also going to say I loved how you read it. It felt like a much better audiobook. So that's how I would want all my stories to be read, instead of like a bland robot voice.
You want me to start recording audiobooks?
Oh, of course.
Why not? You could do that here. We do that sort of stuff. Who would like to go next? Excellent. So now we have Hadley from the Ellis School. And what's your story?
So mine is a bit research-based, so it's not quite fiction. But it's about my struggle with learning disabilities, specifically dyslexia. And again, I will not be reading the more researchy part, so I'm going to be reading the intro and the conclusion. Dyslexie is the French word for dyslexia, but I stopped taking French by third grade. Instead of French class, I worked with a tutor on English and grammar in attempts to combat my learning disabilities. Dyslexia makes learning very difficult for most young students, like me, to learn language and grammar rules, let alone a second language entirely. As an 8-year-old, I thought tutoring was an indication of stupidity, so I never told anyone about what I was doing during French class. I was always worried about judgment from my peers, which was amplified when one classmate took it as far as to trap me against my locker. Tears filled in my eyes as she insisted she needed to know what I was doing during French. With tears rolling down my face and no teacher in sight, I stayed silent. Millions of dyslexic children may never know that the French translation of dyslexia is dyslexie. In fact, if they're like me, they will never know any French at all. However, this does not mean that they will not succeed in life or that they are stupid. Richard Branson talks about his own dyslexia and how for him, quote, being dyslexic can actually help in the outside world. I see some things clearer than other people do because I have to simplify things to help me, and that has helped others, end quote. I relate to this because I have found the same result in my own high school experience. My study techniques would never be as good as they are today without my learning disabilities. I'm one out of five children who will have dyslexia, meaning that there are millions of kids around the world who will struggle, yet still find different and unique ways to succeed compared to their peers.
Beautifully done. You know, the person who built the studio has dyslexia, who built it, gosh, going back about 20 years. His name's Matt Tice. He could see paths for wires and ways to do things that none of us could. It was amazing. And I met him when he was about your age, maybe 19 or 20, and we talked about that a lot, that he kind of learned to harness his different ways of thinking in a way that really... I mean, he's really bright,
yeah.
And it just was by, it took a while for people to understand that about him. And I think for him to understand that about himself, that was a good piece, especially to share of yourself like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments at all for the piece we just heard?
I found it really admirable how you showed dyslexia in such a positive and bright light. I think it's really helpful to the people that don't know that much about dyslexia. Like now, the people that have, even hearing just that, already know more about dyslexia than they probably would have known going their whole life.
Thank you so much.
I like that it sounded really personal to you, and it was definitely something you, like, it came from the heart.
Thank you.
I really like how you tied in, I assume in the difference between the introduction and conclusion, you tied in the idea of the French. That felt really personal. I sound like an English teacher, but I really liked first how personal it was and how you could really share that experience. It sounds like a really good essay, though I would probably get bored reading the researchy parts.
That's why I didn't include it.
Well, you could always read it in sections too.
Yeah,
as you do it. Is this your senior year?
This is my senior year, and I will say, over the past 12 years of education, it has been really hard for me to talk about my learning disabilities, but I've been trying to really embrace it in the last year, because if people judge me, I'm gone anyway.
Yeah. Do you know what you might want to do after graduating?
Yeah, I'm planning to go to college at the University of Vermont and study studio art. I have found it really hard to do some of the more typical things at school, like test taking and, honestly, writing essays. But I have always had a love for art, and I think that's kind of more how my brain works.
Well, that's terrific. Have you been there yet?
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I have not been there, but I know I've driven through Vermont. Any other comments at all before we continue? Hang on. Let me get your mic.
I hope you have good luck in your college expressions, and I hope you, especially in life, you find ways to work through it and really show it in a more positive light. Even though I probably won't see you after this, I'll be rooting for you.
Thank you so much. You are the nicest seventh grader I have ever met.
The bar is on the floor. And some people out there digging shovels. Wait, they're not digging a shovel. They have a shovel and they're digging.
Yeah. Hadley, we gotta get you on a stage. You're a good stand-up comic.
I'm not Hadley.
I'm sorry.
I'm Lila.
You're Lila. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's a comedy duo.
Hadley, yes. Hadley just read. You'd be good on stage reading that too.
You.
Lila, I'm sorry. See, she's great. Get my billing right. You're funny. Do you like making people laugh? You must.
It's fun. I've always seen myself in life as the funny friend. I mean, there's obviously some isolation that comes with that, such as not being able to take yourself seriously. I know I went really deep, but it's also just fun being able to make people laugh and just, I don't know. I can just make fun of how terrible seventh graders are and people laugh.
Insightful.
Except for maybe the seventh graders.
Who would like to go next? Okay, so this is Josie. I'm getting everybody's names correct. It gets tough sometimes. I think I'm going to remember Lila. That'll be easy. Easy. Josie, tell us about your piece.
So my piece is called Betrayal, and it is about, literally, it's about this person who tells the sun about everything. It trusts the sun, and once the sun leaves, it betrays the person and tells the moon. And then the moon returns and mocks the person for their secrets.
So this is a fable of sorts.
Yeah, kind of.
Great. I can't wait to hear it.
I look to the sun, O glorious star. I feel the need to run. Why must you be so far? I tell you my secrets, my truths, my tales, while you kiss my face with your lips. Your warmth covers my body as I slowly inhale. Oh, how I trust you, my glowing eclipse. For you will not leave me. Oh, no, my secret is safe with you. Your scarceness of friends lets me breathe, for all my trust is in you. But, oh, what is this? You leave me so soon? Now the creeping smile of his, here comes the moon. He stares at me with his wretched face, laughing and smirking. Sir, you are out of your place. The sun has told me of your secrets lurking. My heart shatters, my mind turns gray. My bones clatter. Oh, please, moon, stay away. The sky grows dark. Rain attacks the ground. Flowers wilt in the park, not one peaceful sound. I wail as do the wolves, for the one I trust, the one I love, has betrayed me.
Very nice. Very nice. Any comments at all for Josie?
That was beautiful. I loved it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was really pretty.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seemed metaphorical, because, I don't know, I don't think the sun can literally kiss your face. If you did, you would be dead. But it seems very metaphorical and also kind of relatable, and that's how you know you're not okay.
Yeah, and you're creating fantasy worlds that can only exist in minds, and it's kind of neat to juxtapose things we see all the time and to animate them the way you have.
Just to speak in the world of my piece that I read earlier, could happen. It's like an alternative history, basically. What would happen if we kept the caste systems and feudal systems from old times and just translated them into modern day? What would happen with the people at the top of that system? And like, it's a whole, so it's not exactly fantasy, because that fantasy, if it says just shoved an elf in there or something. But
yeah, you know, I see what you're saying. Just
yeah, but
almost a dystopian fiction.
Not a dystopian for them, but may I say that, yeah, it's really nice to see stuff that we do every day, that we see every day translated into the metaphors and the very, very pretty. I really liked it.
Thank you so much.
Any other, Madeira's going to share in a moment, but any other comments for Josie? I really like the way you delivered it. Mm-hmm. I could see you. Have you read poetry, like, in a slam setting?
No, not in a slam setting.
But other settings out loud?
I have shared poetry in my English classes, but other than that, no.
You're really great. You were just really poised.
Thank
you. Sharing
it.
But also allowed the writing to speak for itself, too. Madeira, you have the difficult task of being the last person. What did you bring?
I brought a poem that I wrote. It was technically for an English assignment, but I had sort of been thinking of it for, like, months before that. It's called The Spot. It's about this beautiful place near my house. Some of the most important moments of my life have happened there. I've had a lot of really great conversations with people. And it is just my favorite place ever, and I think the scenery is so pretty. It's a really very beautiful overlook. And there are going to be a couple, like, repeating words throughout this, but that's just because of the form it's written in. Remember when you cut your foot on the guardrail? The fireworks were booming around you like sharp music as you stared out into the fading blush of the sun's glow. And on the walk home, when the neighbor boy held the flashlight, you turned back to see, retreating into darkness, the woods. How much time have you spent in those woods, or walking barefoot on that sharp guardrail? How many times have you been so captivated by the blinking city lights that you forget you're even there, forget sometimes to listen to the music as you stroll along the paths on which you so often walk, in the later hours under the sky's dwindling blush? Watching the sunset, colored in its sky-blue-pink blush, as your mother fills the fire pit with sticks from the backyard woods, You observe the deer as their babies learn to walk and creep tentatively through the bushes, over the guardrail, leaping on shaking legs. You listen to the music, and although you cannot see it, your smile casts a blinding light. Outside your window still glow the streetlights. Their security breaks at the end of night with the early morning's golden blush, and the bird calls echo like long-forgotten music as they flap their wings over you and the deer. The once dark woods come alive again, sunrise catching on the rusted guardrail. Your mother goes for her morning walk. Each night again, down the darkened alley you walk, peering through the trees to catch a glimpse of the lights teetering dangerously on the coarse edge of the guardrail, admiring the way the growing cold makes the trees seem to blush in the speckled red canopy of the woods. You close your eyes and bury yourself in the music. What simple pleasures of life we often overlook. Music, bringing its contemplative distraction to even the most dreadful walk. The sights and smells of changing seasons in the woods. The moments of peace before we surrender to the death of light. The faces of the ones we love, aglow with rosy blush. And the long, cold nights spent sitting and thinking on the guardrail. Don't forget to appreciate the woods, or to photograph the light, which resonates like the soft music of fairies. You hear it as you walk. But no camera could ever truly catch its blush. That is for you. Well, you and the guardrail.
Wow. That was incredible on so many levels. Now, before I ask our other writers for comments, you've had a lot of messages. I didn't want to share them with you. And so let's see. Oh, no, that's Lila's message. Hi, this is Lila. The soup group, are they meaningful to you, the soup group?
Yeah, that's my friend group.
Okay, the soup group is rooting for you. I was to tell you that. You probably knew it anyway. Let me see who else is here. Cole, do good, Madeira. We all love you. So proud. That's Cole. Who's Cole?
Cole is my partner.
Woohoo.
You go.
And let's see. Good luck to Madeira. A lot of hearts. She's doing great. From a phone number ending in 71. I'll leave that to you to decipher.
I'm going to guess that one's Parker.
And Parker also says the soup group on Parker's message.
This may sound bad, but have I had any messages? I don't want to take the attention away from Madeira, but have I had any yet?
There's the one you sent yourself.
Other than mine, or is that it?
If you get one more message and another one after that, including the one you sent yourself, you'll have had three.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So it was just you.
I forgot to send the link to anyone I knew.
Well, it's okay because you'll have it. We'll have this available on demand for anybody to listen to. And I'm sure, I know people are listening. I was just teasing because you're funny. And it's,
if you don't know me but you enjoyed my story, send a text message. I need to get to that level of three. If you enjoyed my story, hit the like, follow, subscribe. I don't care. Just please send a message.
Mike and Mars just said how much he enjoyed hearing all of you. We just have a little. Well, first of all, any comments for Madeira?
I want to say how much I loved poem. Correct. I loved it so much. I also am lucky, and I kind of really enjoy going to the woods around where I live. And so I related to so much of what you said, and it was all so beautifully written. I felt very enraptured by it, and I felt like very similar vibes to my own walks in the woods, and it just beautiful.
Woods really are the best.
Agreed.
I like how you captured sound as part of it. Nobody ever does that. And I like to listen to sounds in the woods. And you had one line about the tree blushing that really caught me, sort of made me stop. So
yeah, I love going there throughout the different seasons and seeing how the landscape changes.
So, any other thoughts? I have one more question for you guys.
I thought it was absolutely stunning. Like, it reminded me of like a professionally done, like, in the end of coming of age movies when they have that like poetic scene where they explain everything, and it's so professionally done. I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you.
I really liked. Yeah, I really like the vibes. I think we all, especially by our house, we all have that one special place. And the idea with the neighbor's boy really did that, because I did have my neighbor friends kind of grown apart. But Evia, Gavin, Lulu, you're probably not watching this, but if you are, my trampoline's going to be opening up. I need friends. Come over the summer. But I really like that idea for us. It's a trampoline and just the road, because, I don't know, sit on the road, talk about life. It's a fire hazard, but it's poetic. But
I thought it was really funny after I was done, you had like a physical reaction.
Yes, I'm like, you can't see it because this is a radio, but I was like, shooketh. It's
yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, I like that too. First of all, does anybody have anything they wanted to say that they maybe forgot to say? Anybody to thank or any observation or anything? Sometimes stuff pops into your head. I just want to be sure.
I forgot to thank my English teachers. I want to thank every English teacher I've ever had, because they've all been fantastic.
I know I've talked a lot. Is that fun with you guys?
Go for it.
Okay. Because my dad was like, don't take up too much of their time. I was like, maybe they're shy and they want me to talk. But sorry, Dad. I took up a lot of time. But I would like to thank my gate teacher, Mr. Simon, who was also the name of the cheer coach.
Aww.
And she did a lot. She did the movie that I talked about. She helped me with the movie that I talked about earlier. She helped me write the story. She's overall an amazing person. And thank you, Mr. Simon. I will hope you get better soon, because you're sick right now.
Oh. I'll also do another shout out. I'll shout out to my English class, because I was very disorganized in getting here and stuff. And I jokingly said, you know, if I just get lost in the Children's Museum, that's how I want to go. So shout out. I did not get lost. And I made it. Woohoo. So shout out to my English class and my English teacher. Very cool people.
I almost went down like a random staircase on my way here.
Oh, me too.
It was like just this. So you went down the stairs. You made a lot. Or no, you didn't go down the stairs, but you enter. And then I went into the cafeteria, and I'm so hungry because I didn't eat breakfast. But drank a bottle of iced tea on the way here. Maybe that's why I'm so hyper. And then I try to go up the stairs, and then there's just like this black cloth over it. And my dad's like, it's that way. I'm like, I'm just trying to go into a random place. They're going to arrest me.
This is good feedback for us.
No, it was my bee.
Please, Children's Museum faculty, give us put a sign up or something. Please, I'm going to get lost.
Stuart, who lives in McCandless, Stu.
Sorry, Stuart.
Stu's very happy. He's listening, and he's happy. So no need to apologize. He said, give everybody high fives, especially Lila, so that she has one more greeting. So thank you, Stu. Anybody else miss anything? Josie, did you?
I did forget to shout out to my mom, who has been like...
I also forgot about my mom.
thank you,
Mom.
Family.
Thanks, Mom.
Madura, to Josie's mom or your
not
own
my
mom?
Own mom.
Okay.
Mine is to Josie's mom. Shout out to her.
Yeah. She wouldn't mind multiple.
Woohoo. Yeah. Everyone, shout out to Josie's mom.
Yeah. Mom, you have a fan club right now.
Yeah.
She has been my encouragement through everything. She knows how to calm me down. She knows exactly like what things I should enter into and what I should do. So I would no way be here today without her. So thank you, Mom.
Yeah, thank you, Josie's mom.
Thank you, Josie's mom.
Thanks to all of you for being here. And I hope you'll come back sometime and share more writing. And I just can't tell you how much we've appreciated
it. I could be a radio co-host.
I think you could be, for sure.
I mean, I'm free on almost free on Saturdays around this time. After this, I'm so busy. I have to go, like, teacher's assistant at my dance studio, and then I have a dance class, and then I have to go to a flute lesson because, I mean, I love my mom, but she was like, we had to miss the dance lesson, so we scheduled it for Saturday. I was like, I already have a radio interview and a dance lesson. I'm tired. I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Bro, I am the senior, and you are way more popular and doing way more than I am.
It's not popular if you get a teaching job, but I did play. I don't know. I think it's responsibility. I did go to a party last night. That was fun.
Okay.
Okay.
It was a birthday party. It's not
okay.
like... I'm sorry. I'm going off topic.
Okay, well, we're going to let you two continue off the air.
So sorry.
No.
I am so sorry.
You guys are great. All of you are great in each and every way. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I hope we'll see you soon. You've got Hadley, Josephine, Lila, and Madeira. Now you're going to hear from Lance, who recently filed a story about the Mattress Factory. Lance, Josie, you might know Lance, although he's a little older than you. Lance Wellborn is a student at Fox Chapel Area High School, and we're going to hear this report that he filed on visiting the Mattress Factory.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of a museum? Is it the thought of being stuck behind a glass box, viewing a painting that's hundreds of years old? Or perhaps the phrase, "look, don't touch," comes to mind. At the Mattress Factory Museum, located on the north side of Pittsburgh, you'll find something that defies all expectations of a traditional museum. Unique sounds, similar to the music you just heard, and interactive exhibits aid in the overall museum experience. I spoke with Mandy Wilson, the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Mattress Factory, about what makes installation art so unique.
What makes us different is with a lot of other museums, you go in and you see works of art that are hanging on the wall. When you come here, the entire room is the work of art. It's different in the sense that it is very immersive. It's different than just looking at a traditional gallery.
The Mattress Factory takes pride in giving its artists unbounded creative freedom. And that free reign can sometimes lead to artists making some pretty drastic changes to museum space.
When artists come here, they can basically do whatever they want in that space. They can completely transform it, whether that's building walls, lowering ceilings. Before I was here, there was an installation where the entire floor was covered in melted candy. So we really try to make everything possible that the artist is looking to do. And that really creates a nice immersive environment for our visitors.
One of the pieces on display, the other apartment created by John Rubin, is a full-scale, identical recreation of artist Sohrab Kashani's apartment in Tehran, Iran. Every minute detail, from the lint on the air conditioning units, to the cracks on the walls, and even Kashani's Superman action figures, was seemingly dropped directly from a city over 6,000 miles away into the fourth floor of a museum in Pittsburgh. Not exactly a painting guarded by a velvet rope.
And I think that's what's really great about the Mattress Factory, because I think it helps people conceptualize art in different ways and experience it in different ways, because coming into this space, it's like it's an apartment. And then whenever you realize, it's like, oh my gosh, this is an exact replication of an apartment in Tehran. It's kind of like, you know, this is a new way for people to experience it.
A piano hanging from the ceiling and an actual vial of human blood are just a couple of the strange sights I stumbled upon during my visit. On display year-round is an exhibit by Yayoi Kusama, an artist who has pieces in Washington, D.C., Chicago, New York City, and Rome. You might be familiar with her trademark polka dot artwork, which has become a symbol of the Mattress Factory. Whether you're a veteran visitor or a first-timer, there's always something new to see.
We do have several installations that are part of our permanent collection, but every year we welcome in a new group of artists. You know, if you've been here and it's maybe been a year or a few months since your last visit, it's definitely worth coming back, because we do always have changing installations. So it really stays fresh and new and always something different to see.
The Mattress Factory and its Out of the Ordinary exhibits are certainly worth a visit. For more information about the Mattress Factory Museum, visit mattress.org.
Thanks to Lance Wilhelm. That's a preview of our Radcast series that will be coming soon. Now, as our Youth Express Hour continues, we are going to go back to August 12th, 2017, when Ethan was 13, Blake was 14, and Luke was 16. Ethan and Blake from Pittsburgh Kappa, Luke from Pittsburgh Alderdice, with a band called Colorblind Coding.
I'm sick of it. How does one end up in a situation like this? I keep moving on and everybody wonders what they miss. People seem to think that you don't really care at all. 'Cause then I go on and everything starts to fall. I'm 13, almost 14, but I never learned how to know. Still wondering what I'm supposed to do. The highlight of my week was heading to bed without that migraine. Still woke up with my neck hurting and feeling a little insane. You were upset, you screamed whatever. I swear it doesn't work no matter the amount of everything you count. You're 1/12 of everything you're living through, but the only one I seem to think about. It's hard to wonder where everything you think about comes from. You can point it over there, you can point it on the TV some. But I think it's those other things that keep everyone moving. 'Cause no matter what you do, there's someone out there and you gotta keep moving. You were upset, you screamed whatever. I swear it doesn't work no matter the amount of everything you count. You're 1/12 of everything I'll ever do, but the only one that I'm thinking about.
What a nice sound. That's the Color Blind Coding Band. I like the name, too. It takes me to CCB for short. And Ethan, did you write that song?
I did. I've written most of our originals, and that was like the first song I wrote for this project. We started in last January, and I started writing stuff for this in November. Last November, most of that was scrapped over time, but... by now, that was one of like the songs that's really stuck through. We haven't stopped playing it. We really like playing that one. In fact, we normally use that as our set opener.
Yeah, that, it's a nice, I like the lyrics, and it's a nice song to open with, too. And it mentions November. I gather you probably wrote that around that time.
Yes.
Or sounds good. So you've had a number of bands. So can you sort of walk me through some of those?
The first band I was really in was a band called By the Process of Elimination. I don't believe we played here.
I know we saw you, and I think we broadcast part of it at the Andy Warhol Museum for Youth Invasion, I think.
We did definitely play then with both of these bands, actually. We played with Colorblind Coding. That was like... one of our first full gigs, actually, which
yeah.
is kind of cool.
Absolutely. And were these guys also in By Process of Elimination?
For a day.
There's a funny story behind that. We were looking for a bassist for a while, and so we invited Luke to come play with us. And then we just never really followed up, which was a little bit mean.
Well, I mean, I was also in a few other bands.
Yeah.
I was in a jazz funk band. And
at the time.
Your average
alternative rock band.
Well, you didn't not follow up on purpose.
No, apparently,
you,
of course.
You wouldn't do that.
No, just a lot of. I was very busy for a period of time there.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, well, at the beginning of this year, we collectively decided to put By the Process of Elimination on hold. I really still love playing music with them. In fact, we practiced one time very recently. It sounded great. We'll be doing stuff soon. But just right now, I wanted to try some new stuff, try some type of songs that I wasn't really playing with them, and try a little bit more music I was into at the time and stuff I wanted to be playing. And so I found Blake, who was one of my friends from school, and I know he was a drummer. He actually goes to Kappa for drums. And at the time, Luke was also going to Kappa. Mm-hmm. He switched to Alder Lace this year.
Yeah.
And I've known Luke for a while. In fact, one of my old band, By the Process of Elimination's first shows, we played with his old band, Electric Army, which he's not in currently.
You guys already have quite a Wikipedia entry in the making here. I mean, it's great to have that kind of experience. Tell me about you're playing, you said, in a jazz funk band?
I used to be the bassist for the Pittsburgh group Funky Fly Project, but I left the band a couple years ago to do some other stuff. I just bumped the mic, but yeah.
Tell me, Luke, about the bass you're playing, because it's a little different than what people might be imagining as they listen.
Oh, yeah. So I'm playing a Schecter Radon Special.
I just noticed you switched to guitar, too, as I said that.
I'm playing guitar on this next
song.
It's a Schecter Radon Special. They actually discontinued the model a while back, but I love this bass, honestly. I got a really good deal on it whenever I bought it, and I just absolutely love the tone of it. And I've done a few modifications, just like with the volume knobs, but it's treated me very well over this period of time.
Yeah, is it a bit longer than most basses?
It's about average size for a bass, in my opinion.
Interesting, because it has the fretboard looks longer, but it might be an illusion.
It is 24 frets, so okay. I mean that can add like another inch.
That may be the case. And let's make sure we give Blake a chance to get a word in edgewise, too. Do you want to tell me a bit about yourself?
Well, I've been a drummer for quite a while. I started back in third grade, so it's been around 6-7 years that I've been playing. And I really enjoy playing drums, especially drum set, because a lot of the music that I enjoy to listen to is on drum set. And when Ethan asked me to be in this band, I felt really happy that he asked me to do this, because I've been looking for a band and this has been going pretty well. So now I'm happy that I'm playing drum set for this band. But I'm also in an orchestra outside of school, outside of this band, where I play orchestral percussion, and it's just great.
And are you playing things like timpani, or what do you play in band?
I play timpani, marimba, vibraphone, auxiliary percussion, snare drum, bass drum, and a plethora of all other orchestral percussion instruments.
That's great. And you're majoring in percussion at Kappa,
yes.
Or drums. Ethan, what about you?
I'm a vocalist.
Vocalist, and you're singing beautifully. And Luke, you love music. You have gone to Alder Dice. Now, is bass your primary instrument?
Bass is my primary instrument. Even though I started on guitar almost 10 years ago, I decided to pick up bass in 2014, and that's become more my primary instrument.
Great. We're going to hear another song. Good thing, too. I'll clear my throat as you're singing. But Ethan and Blake and Luke together are known as Color Blind Coding Band. And Ethan, what's the name of the song you're about to do?
We're going to be doing a cover of the Nirvana song, All Apologies.
Okay, here they are again, Color Blind Coding Band.
What else should I be? All apologies. What else can I say? Everyone is gay. What else can I write? I don't have the right. What else can I be? All apologies. In the sun, I feel your love. In the sun, Mary, Mary. I wish I was like you, easily amused. Find my nest of salt. Everything's my fault. I'll take all the blame. Aqua sea from shame. Sun kiss, razor burn. Choking on the ashes of a runaway. In the sun, I feel as one. In the sun, Mary, Mary, yeah, 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 yeah. All in all is all we are. All in all is all we are. All in all is all we are. All in all is all we are.
Color Blind Coding. From August 12th, 2017. City of Pittsburgh teens, Ethan Blake and Luke, teens at the time of that performance. Live music with Devilish Mary is coming up. We'd like to welcome a brand new affiliate to our broadcast today. We're really proud to welcome KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, and Phoenix at 90.7 FM, a new radio station serving the community, and we're happy to be with you this morning, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, Alexis Thompson, and in a moment, Devilish Mary. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio.
You know I got to get my way, 'cause I got stuff to do today. There's business dancing in my brain. Some make sense, some are insane. The latter gives me much less pain than business dancing in my brain. Well, you know I'm the CEO of all that business in my head. A puppet master pulling strings while I'm lying here in bed. There's a conference room above my neck. Could be wrong, but what the heck? It's my turn here to stack the deck on the table here. But my deck, well, don't you know? I'm the CEO of all this business in my head. Puppet master pulling strings while I'm lying here.